Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
I started thinking about vision because realizing that in ministry, whether it's student ministry, collegiate ministry, children's ministry, senior adult ministry, ministry or a church without vision is not going to go anywhere. You end up living in the past because that's all that you have. And so I started thinking through that, and I started thinking, you know, where can I go to kind of biblically look at what a biblical vision looks like? There's no better place to go than to see what Jesus did. And I really believe in the passage that was read a little bit earlier, we can see the very vision of Jesus Christ with ministry in that passage. And we're going to dive into that. That game didn't just happen. They didn't just show up and walk out of there with a championship. This was a team that was underdogs. This was a team that was never expected to be there. But they had a plan. They had a goal. They had a vision to get there. Nobody expected them to be there. That plan, that vision that they had required hard work. It required commitment to the team. It required commitment to fundamentals. It required teamwork for them to get there. Without that plan, without that goal, without that vision, they would have never arrived at that game. As ministry, we've got to have a plan in our life, in our hearts, in the ministry God has called us to as a church, for us to be effective in reaching our community with Jesus Christ. We have to have a vision of what God can do through us to impact our community and all. And like I said, the best place to go is to look at Jesus Christ, what He did. And that is where we come into our passage in Matthew. So here's my question. What would Jesus' ministry look like today? What would His ministry look like in Cairo, Georgia? What would His ministry look like if it was at Eastside Baptist Church? What would it look like? Well, I think if we look at this passage, we can get a really solid, good glimpse as to what it would look like, which is what we should be doing. Ministry and our vision is not, to be honest, let me back. We like to think of what we could do in ministry or what we could do to reach our community. It shouldn't be what we could do. We will look here, it's what we should be doing every day. It's ministry is about what we should be doing. As we look through this passage in Matthew, you can look at the first part of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verses chapter 1 through chapter 4. We see the very beginning of Jesus, His birth. We see His early years in life. We see His temptation. We see His baptism. We see all about the early formation heading up. Then in chapter 5 through chapter 7, we hear some of the most profound teachings of Jesus Christ. The best, you preached, apparently you did a great job last week, no doubt in my mind. But the most amazing sermon ever preached, chapter 5 starts it with the Sermon on the Mount. We learn a lot about His teachings through that. Then, after that, chapter 8 and 9, we actually see some of Jesus' ministry. The healing of the sick, the healing of the blind, the healing of the crippled, the healing of the spiritually sick. We see all that. And then we arrive, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And I believe we get a very good glimpse of what His vision, His ministry was all about. What we can do to reach our community where God has us planted. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. I'm going to read that again. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had great compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." We just take a moment and look through this. We can see the very heart of Jesus and what he's called us to do and apply in our lives, in our ministries, in our local churches. The very first that Jesus has called us to be committed to is committed to the gospel. You'll see, your verse translation may say good news, but the good news is the gospel. Committed to the gospel. We have to be committed to the very heart and soul of God, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we say commit, I think we might need to define what does commitment mean. When we look at commitment in Webster's, it says this: the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. I think some people would say being committed is being committed to a cause that you're willing to die for. I say as believers, it's much more than that. I say if we're going to be committed, we've got to be committed to something that we're willing to live for. Because God has got us living in our communities today. He wants us to live out his vision and his plan. So the first commitment is a commitment to the gospel, to the good news. The gospel is our only true hope. The gospel is the light in the darkness. The gospel is forgiveness for the guilty. The gospel is wholeness for the broken. The gospel is freedom for the bound. The gospel is the home for the orphan. The gospel is all about the power of the cross, where we can go to get forgiveness and restored back in relationship with God. The passage that you were taught from the time you were the youngest, you see it everywhere. John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel. I know we hear it all the time, but that is the gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. That is what we are to be committed to. We are created for something much greater than what we can do for ourselves and what we can provide for ourselves. We're created for God. But just like Adam and Eve, they sin and become separated from God. That is what happens with us. When we sin, our relationship with God is broken and we're separated. Now, God desires us to be reunited, restored back to him. And that is where the gospel comes into play. When Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, died on the cross, he died to pay our penalty for our sins so that we would not have to, so that we could be restored back in a relationship with God. And he rose again on the third day. That gives us hope for eternity. That is the gospel, to restore us back in a relationship with God. The gospel. It is a gift that for every one of us, it is a gift that must be received. If I was to go out and buy a gift card for you to your favorite restaurant, whatever, I mean, your mouth is watering, you're thinking about your favorite restaurant, you're going, oh, how good it would be. I'm talking about, there's no limit to the cost of this restaurant. We're going to go get you a gift card. I take this gift card, I bring it, and I go to give it to you, but you never take it. You leave out, and you never take that gift card with you. You cannot experience the benefit of that gift card now because you have left without it. You didn't receive it. You didn't take it. That is the way the gospel is. It is a free gift for every one of us. But if we don't receive it, we don't take it. We don't receive the benefit of the gospel, the forgiveness of sin, of our sin, being restored back in relationship with God with a hope of eternity. The gospel must be received. And that is something I remember clearly when I was 14 years old, that God, took a whole lot of things that had happened in my life to get me to that point. From my grandmother taking me to VBS every time it happened, to me, I remember growing up sitting beside her in church. All those little things got me to the point where I was at when I was 14 years old, when I realized that I had to receive the gospel. I had to receive it to receive forgiveness of sin, being restored. The gospel is a free gift, but you must receive it. And only you can receive it for yourself. Mom and dad can't do it for you. Grandma can't do it for you, even though I think my grandmother would have. But she couldn't. She couldn't. We have to do it ourselves. It is a free gift that we all must receive. The gospel, the very foundation of what we are about as believers in Jesus Christ, as ministers of the gospel, as a local church. It is what ministry is about. So the first commitment is to the gospel. The second commitment is to compassion. If you read in verse 36, it says, he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Had compassion. And this word for compassion is not the I care level. This is a gut level of compassion, of I am deeply concerned. I deeply care. I will do anything I can do to help you where you are, kind of compassion. It is a very deep emotional love for people. This type of compassion will move you to act and not sit on the sideline. This type of compassion, Jesus said he had for the people who were harassed and hopeless. Some other translation used the words downcast and desperate. He had compassion for them. What do those folks look like today? Those folks are the abused, the depressed, the hurting. Those without a shepherd, those without Jesus Christ, those that need a hope and that need a Savior. Compassion for those. I heard this the other day, and I wrote it down, and I said, I got to share this. If you have something that is good for me, that will help me, that will give me hope, that will give me meaning to life, what will it take for you to share that with me? What will it take? A few weeks ago, it took tornadoes for people finally to get out and share that. It shouldn't take tornadoes to do that. That should be who we are every day. Our compassion should be so great that we want to share that hope with people. May our compassion never be doubted as followers of Jesus Christ. Our first commitment is to the gospel. Our second one is to compassion. And then our third commitment is to prayer and go. Pray before action. Not action, then pray. Pray before action. Pray and have God in the middle of everything that you do. Bathe, soak, cover what we do in prayer. Thank God for His blessings. Thank Him for the gospel. Thank Him for His grace and mercy. Seek His heart and then pray for His wisdom, courage, and strength to actually go, to be the hands and feet now, to go. So the question is, where do we go? Here's where we can go. We can go to our homes, to our families. We go to our community, to our friends. Go to our school or to your work. Go to Cairo. Go to Grady County. Then go beyond. Go where you are. God has got you in a certain job, in a certain community for a reason, and that's to make a difference. Let His light shine through you so great that people look at it and go, I want some of what you've got. I want some of that. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. We're familiar with that passage. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Some people, and I like to sit back. Now, I like to debate with the best of them sometimes. Some people, and I'm sure you've heard, some people see this passage as a directive to go. That you got to go. Some people see it as instructions for as you go. And they want to debate, what does that really mean? I suggest to you that passage has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's not, that passage is not about sending you out, or it's not about you give instructions that you give. That passage is about making disciples and baptizing. That is what that passage is all about. That is what we should be doing. So whether you go or as you go, the important thing is share the gospel. It's about the gospel. It's to live the gospel. Let me say this, and I like to share this with students all the time. Live the gospel in such a way that when you go to share it, people want to hear it because they see how you live your life. They're open to it now. They're willing to receive it. You've now earned the right to speak what you live. To speak what you live. So again, whether you are going or as you go, the important thing is to go with the gospel. Share the gospel. Live the gospel. I want to tell you of interview from a few years back with Penn Jillette, a famous magician, comedian that is a very passionate advocate of atheism. You may have seen the video, you may have read it or whatever, but it's worth being reminded of this. He had done a show, one of his magic comedian shows, and a gentleman that was an audience member of the show was also a participant. He got picked to be a part of the show. And at the end of the show, he had a chance to go backstage and meet Jillette, Penn Jillette. And while back there, he went up to him and he thanked him about the show and how good the show was and how well it was done. And it was funny. It was entertaining. It was just a very good show. And then he pulled out of his pocket a little New Testament Bible. He said, I want to give this to you. I've wrote something in the front of it, and I would like you to have it. And he handed it to him, like a New Testament, like a Gideon's New Testament, something like that. Jillette said, I remember the guy. He goes, he was a very nice, very pleasant, very respectful man who seemed very sane and looked at me in the eyes when he spoke to me. And then he handed me the New Testament. Then he goes on to say, he goes, I don't get it. I don't respect people who do not proselytize. Now, let's just, for some of us that needs Google Translate for that word, this is, for me, this is what it means to proselytize. It means to convert or to attempt to convert somebody to a new standard of beliefs. Okay? He goes, I don't understand people who don't proselytize. He goes, if you believe there's a hell, and if you believe there's a heaven, if you believe there's a hope for eternity of everlasting life, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize and share that with them? He goes, if you believe there's life after death, how much do you have to hate someone not to share that hope with them? He goes, it's like this. He used this as an example. He goes, if I knew without a shadow of a doubt that a truck was bearing down the road and was about to run over you, there comes a time and point where I will tackle you to safety. And he says, and the everlasting life is much more important than that. Well, Penn Jillette didn't accept Christ. The guy did earn the right to share with him. But he didn't accept Christ. But the man was very faithful to what God had called him to do, to be a light in the darkness, to live the gospel and share the gospel. Very faithful to do it. He didn't change Penn Jillette's view of the gospel, but he did what he was supposed to do. Reminded me of this. Studies show that it takes 40 gospel contacts before someone will ever make a decision except to receive Christ. Some of those gospel contacts are very intentional, very face-to-face. Some of them may be a song that they heard on the radio that made them think about it. Some may be a track that someone left by on a table. But they say it's 40 contacts, gospel contacts, before someone will ever accept Jesus now. The one that makes the very first contact feels like a total failure, feels like they can't do anything right because it just don't work.
And then the one that makes a 40th think there's God's gift to evangelism because they just led the cry. But here's the thing. We've got to be faithful to the gospel because without contacts 1 through 39, gospel contact 40 never happens. Never happens. God uses all of them, even the small things. So we're to be faithful to the gospel, to sharing the gospel, sharing the hope, sharing the love that God is giving with us to share with others. As we'll wrap up, I truly believe that for us to make a difference in the life that God has placed us, in the middle of where we live, in the middle of our work, in the middle of school, in the middle of Cairo, that we've got to have a vision. And that vision has got to be centered on God's Word. It's got to be focused on the gospel. Life-changing. We got to be committed to compassion for people that drives us to act and share and live and help and encourage. And we've got to be committed to praying through everything and then actually willing to put feet and hands to what God has called us to do. For you see, here's what I want you to take home with you. Without vision, with no vision, there's no future. We're stuck in the past. We're challenged every day to catch the vision of the gospel and live it and share it and give that hope. Now, as we wrap up, some of you may be here. You may have come to this point in your life where you realize that you need the hope, you need the forgiveness, you need the restoration of what God provides through the gospel, through His grace and mercy. You may realize that God loves you incredibly, more than you can ever imagine, and that He desires to build a relationship with you that gives us hope beyond what we presently can even understand and see. You see, you may be even to the point where you realize that there's sin that has separated you from God. This is a time for you to be restored. It is coming before God. The Bible says that if we are pray and we mean it, God is faithful and just to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. If we, like when I was 14 years old, go to God, get on my knees and mean business. Whether you're on your knees or sitting in a chair, it don't matter. You mean business with God. You admit that you're separated from God, that sin has come in the way of that relationship. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay your penalty for sin. Ask Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior and to forgive you and to restore you. God says, I will hear your prayers. I will hear your cry. I will answer that. When we mean business with God, He will answer that prayer, and He moves us from a loved creation of God to a loved child of God through that transformation, through that adoption into His family. If you say that prayer, God will hear it. Maybe you're here and you say, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I need to be more committed to what He has called me to. Committed to the gospel, committed to compassion for those around you, committed for prayer and putting feet to what He's called you to do. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you're here and you're going, I didn't know we're going to have a strange preacher today. You're visiting with a church and I don't know that, but you know what? God has you here for a purpose today. And if you're looking for a church home, let me just say, from the folks that I've met, you're not going to find a better place to plug in and be a part of a church family. Amen. And this may be an opportunity for you to come forward when we stand to sing in a little bit to say, I want to be a part of this family. We're going to have a time of response here. If you said that prayer or you have more questions about the gospel affecting and changing your heart, Pastor Andrew is going to be up front. Come and share that with him. The altar is always open for us to spend time with God, praying, committing, and letting Him change us from the inside out to be more committed to what He's called us to do. And Pastor Andrew, if you want to be a part of this church, Pastor Andrew will be here. He will love to talk with you and pray with you about that. So after we pray, I want to encourage you to spend a moment praying about what would God have you to do today. After I pray, think about that, and then we'll head into a time of response. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for today. And Father, that even in the middle of a busy day, a lot of things going on, it is so important to keep the main thing, and that's your word, the gospel. I just pray, Father, that starting with myself, that I will evaluate and I look at my heart, I look at my life, Father, to be sure that I'm doing, pursuing what you desire me to do, and that is make much about Jesus. And Father, if there's anyone here that maybe said a prayer asking you to forgive them, come into their heart, or they want to talk more about it, I pray, Father, that you be with them, give them, Father, the courage to come up and talk with Pastor this morning. And anyone else that may need to make a decision, spend time in prayer, we just pray, Father, that you bless them in an incredible way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
come to the altar, the fire. Tell the world of the treasure you found.